Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. Got an action-packed episode coming your way. I'm very excited about today's episode for a number of different reasons. Not only for Listener of the Week, not only for Dear Rick, not only for Facebook and Instagram questions, not only for our feedback and behind the scenes of the Titleist driver testing, but also this is a special monumental moment for the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. I'm gonna let Guy take over from here.
Is it the biggest moment in the whole 44 episodes?
It's without question.
A shadow of a doubt.
It's the only reason why we've done the 44 episodes so far, let's be honest.
Yes, it is. We've given our time, our effort, our energy for 43 episodes, amazing episodes of free content. So it's about time we started to get some money out of this, Rick.
Hello.
And get some partners on board.
Hello.
And get a sponsor to the podcast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, episode 44, you ready for this, is a sponsored episode, everybody. We can eat. Guy gets paid.
Yes.
but also we've got a sponsor, which we will come on to later on in the podcast.
I think we should say who it is now, but then say the exciting bit in a little minute.
Well, what's crazy is when we've had a few loose emails from sponsors in the past, and a lot of them, yes, we want sponsors, and we've not been shy about it. But also, we didn't want a sponsor that we didn't believe in, a brand that we didn't use or feel passionate about.
So when we got people trying to get us a sponsor, toothpaste, we don't use that, so it's not it doesn't really work.
But this sponsor, this partner that we've partnered with, is not only the flagship in major tournament golf.
What have I always said is my favourite major?
You've always said it, and to be honest, I think it might become my favourite major.
It should. It's going to become everybody's.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast is sponsored and brought to you today by the Open Podcast.
Yes.
How good is that? So the Open Championship, the R&A, have set up a podcast, and we're going to come into it in a little bit a minute. It's bloody brilliant. And I want it to be everybody's
second favourite podcast.
Correct. Because obviously this is your first.
This is going to be your first favourite, but it's fine to be second. Often we class second as first loser. But your second favourite golf podcast can be and should be and will be the Open Podcast.
So we are going to come on to that later today, but really excited. Like I say, we'll tell you a little bit more about the episode that's come out so far and why you definitely should be listening to every single episode over the next 10 weeks. Before that, though, we've got loads of golf to talk about. There's been quite a few exciting events going on, the European Tour, PGA Tour.
That we're not going to talk about.
Exactly. So I think where we should start with this week, because I feel like it's a hot topic. I know we've got some emails that we definitely want to touch on. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Titleist reviews first.
Okay. I was thinking, let's just ease, because I'll be honest now, last couple of podcasts, we've started off and said it's 7 out of 10 content at best today.
Yeah.
I believe, and I've said this on social media that you've seen, today's could be a 10 out of 10 and arguably too good of an episode. So let's not, I'm going to use a word that isn't really very podcast friendly then. Got something in my load to
whoa.
Let's just ease into it and go with a little couple of nice light-hearted emails.
Okay.
And then we're going to come on to the Titleist reviews, but not like necessarily talking about, oh, we did a review last week. We're going to talk about, which I've not really done too much before, the in-depth of how you review a product from day zero to being onto YouTube.
Yeah, proper give you behind the scenes, because you see a 12-minute video on YouTube, but to get that 12-minute video has taken many, many, many hours. So we want to talk a little bit more about that first. So let's kick off with some emails then,
right,
Guy.
I've got three that are going to just kind of... One of them really jumped out at me, and it's arguably the worst email I've ever had.
Wow, great start.
I don't have to name and shame this person, but it said, I got so excited, it was in block capitals, "Dear Guy and Rick, I challenge you," and then it's 5 exclamation marks.
Okay.
So I was thinking, okay, you've got me. Hi, my name... I'm going to say, hi, my name's Mark. I've come up with an absolute banger idea for your podcast and video content that I know has not been done yet, but could also help a lot of people. Right?
Okay. I feel like I've heard the start of that email 1,000 times before from different people who've emailed in.
But this is a different one.
Okay.
Mark then goes on to say, please contact me. It's hard to explain in an email. Thank you. But there's no other, like, it's not left a phone number. Not that I would necessarily ring him anyway, but that's all it was. So it's literally just that. So I saw it and thought, right, give it to me, content, we're talking, and that was it. Oh. So I thought I'd start you off a little bit of an anticlimax.
Wow.
Here's a bit of a better one.
Go for it.
So Jonathan Burrows, you know what, I need to check actually before I read these people's names out. They're not wanting to be anonymous, but this one isn't. I'm Jonathan Burrows.
Too late now, Jonathan.
Can I become a professional? Okay. When I was younger, a teenager, I was very keen in golf and played off 12. But over the years, I've let the golf slip away, started a family, etc. and so forth. I haven't played golf in over 9 years, and recently I've started to find the time again to get back into it and go to the driving range. I'm 37 years of age and would love to get back playing good golf, even push myself to playing off a 3 or 4 handicap. Is it wrong to aim to become a pro at my age of 40? What's your thoughts and any tips?
Part of me,
don't push your dreams, Rick.
I know, I don't want to be pessimistic on this. I do want to be optimistic, but I do feel that if you've not made it yet, it's too late, let's be honest. I mean, it depends on what level of pro as well, because there are many, many different levels of pro. For me, example, I'm a PGA golf professional. I'm a professional golf association, qualified professional golfer, who for my main hobby, my main career is to coach golf and to make videos online. That's what I do. I don't play for a living, thankfully, because we would be absolutely skint if I had to play for a living. But there are different tiers. If you want to coach, it's not too late to coach. If you do find a passion in it, you know, you can be very experienced. You can have a wiser head on you. You can learn everything you need to know over the next 3 to 5 years to be able to be a good coach, potentially. You've then got to put the hours in, which is still really, really hard, to become an established golf professional coach. So there's that route. There's the route of playing. And again, if he talks about just being a golf pro, you could get down to scratch. You could turn pro. You can actually turn pro off any handicap.
Yeah, just lose your amateur status.
Yeah, you can literally, I think even the R&A, our fantastic kind of partners with the Open podcast, again, we'll come on to that. We'll milk it a little bit. But if you rang them and sent me an email saying, I want to get rid of my amateur status, you could turn professional tomorrow. But what does it mean? Because you'll go and play in a normal tournament, unless you're actually playing at professional standard, you're just going to get found out, and unfortunately you're going to end up probably coming last every time.
And even running a business, there might not be much. If you wanted to kind of open a retail business or something and become a golf retailer, there might not be that much benefit to actually doing his PGA. Really,
you don't need to. You don't need to. You need to do your PGA mainly for a coach, I see it as. You can become a golf director. You could look after facilities. You could look after golf courses, potentially, yes. But I think at 40, I'm not saying it's impossible, I am not. There's a really, really good book called Dream On. I'd advise reading it. It's about a story about a guy who was probably a similar story to you. He might have been a bit younger. He used to play when he was younger, then kind of fell out of golf, had family, had work, and wanted to see if he could one time shoot level par. Mm-hmm. That was his goal. He mentioned it to Sam Torrance, I believe. Sam Torrance went, dream on, you've got no chance.
Ah.
And for a year, he dedicated basically as much time as he could to try and shoot level par. I don't want to give the end of the story away, but it is quite a fascinating story about the highs and lows. But that's just to shoot level par.
Yeah.
Like, to try and then shoot professional good standard. I mean, look at this. And I know we're not going to mention tour golf. The two winners that just won on tour, European Tour and PGA Tour, both in the final round on phenomenally difficult golf courses, both shot 8 under par in their final round to win the tournament. I mean, the standard is exponentially amazing.
Nice. Okay.
So no.
Right.
Don't answer. Go for it. Sorry, Jonathan.
So this one is
don't
from...
follow your dream.
Get that book, listen to our podcast, and that's what you need to do. This one is anonymous. It's quite a good question, actually. It's something that I think he or she mentions in the email we haven't talked about before, and I don't think we have. It says, "Hi, I'm a new golfer. Just got into the game seriously in the spring. Love the show, love your videos, love the podcast, etc. I've been learning a lot during the beginning of my golf journey. Just to give some context, when I play around on my own, I shoot upper 90s, but almost my entire golf experience thus far has actually been golfing with my mates and playing scramble, 2 versus 2. Every single time we go out since the beginning, we bet." Right, this is where it's going. "It's not loads of cash, maybe just 20 bucks on the front, 20 bucks on the, sorry, 10 bucks on the front, 10 bucks on the back, and maybe 10 for the match."
She's obviously from America.
Or do they call it bucks in? Yeah,
Australia.
Possibly they do, don't they?
It's dollars, isn't it?
Yeah, whichever. So that's 30, and then 5 for birdies or a few bucks to whoever gets close to the pin on the par 3. So to be fair, that I don't know, that is starting to sound like quite a lot to me. But anyway, I'm curious about this aspect of the game because in my opinion it makes it quite fun. Some of the most intense times are when the match is close on the 17th or 18th, especially on the 18th green when it all comes down to who makes or misses a 10-footer. I guess I have a few questions on this because I'm up to episode 40 and I haven't heard you speak about it. As a newbie to the game, I don't know whether what's normal. Does everyone do this when they play? In your opinion, did it enhance or take away from playing? And do people ever come to you for lessons, hoping to get better so they can beat their friends for cash? I feel like it's a broad topic. Want to hear your thoughts. So basically, as I know it was a long email, he's saying he bets. Is it normal? Do people do it? Should he do it? Let's discuss.
I've played for money before. Not often for a lot of money. £5, £10, sometimes where he said like 5 on the front 9, 5 on the back 9, 10 are on the whole match. I do like it, but it's money that doesn't scare me. Mm. Like if I was playing for thousands of pounds, which I've never played for thousands of pounds, that would start to scare me a bit more. And I think I've seen when I was one of the golf pros at Mia, where I used to teach, I'm quite an affluent area, a lot of businessmen, they used to play for mega money. And you used to come, you see at the end of the round, you could tell by the way they walked off the green who'd lost, who'd won.
Yeah.
And almost to some degree of how much it actually hurt them. And these guys were very, very loaded fellas.
I don't like that.
And they're walking off and you can tell it's enough money that they are, you know, emotionally scarred by it. I know you've got kind of quite not strong opinions on betting, but obviously, you know, it's not the best thing. I wouldn't advocate it massively. I used to probably gamble when I was younger. I used to go to the casino. I got into a real rut when I was probably about 18 to 20, where I used to go casino like every other week. I used to play poker loads. It was when poker felt very popular. Like poker feels like it's died off a lot.
We had a spell when I was in college where poker was really cool. I'm not so much a gambler, but I love nothing more than playing doubles with my friends and playing for food.
Yeah, food or a drink.
Exactly. So we'll play and there'll be 2 against 2. And what we normally do, it's a really simple game, is just do combined like stroke play. So if me and you were a team, I get a 4, you get a 4, that's an 8. They get a 5 and a 5, that's obviously a 10. We win 1 up or whatever. And playing for a meal, even if it's just a Mackey's on the way home. And it does, like he's saying in that email, when you get to the 18th hole and someone's got a 6-footer to win, or you've got it to win and get your food paid for, it is really good. But equally, if I lose, I'm spending £15 maximum. Yeah. Well, it's a dodgy one, isn't it?
Recently, I played with a couple of friends of mine. We played at Mere, actually. And again, we did something similar where we played for food, but we actually ate at Mere. It was bloody expensive. The bill came to 140 quid and they were splitting 70 quid each, which again stings a little bit more. Luckily, I was on the winning team. I wouldn't say I was responsible for winning, but I was on the winning team.
So be careful, I think, yeah, essentially. I think... Don't let it become... Because I think with golf, you want it to be so that you go out and you get, obviously, enjoyment out of it and it is exciting, which is what it should be. But equally, you don't want to be driving home after a bad round and losing 50 bucks, 100 quid, whatever. That's a lot of money where you're thinking, that is seriously, like, that's going to hurt that.
Yeah. You don't want to be hiding it from your partners or your family as well, because that's where it gets really messy.
So let us know. Anyway, email us podcast@rickshields.com if you've got any experiences.
So Titleist reviews. Let's go on to this story now.
Right. So the reason we decided to discuss this was, I saw, I don't know if you did, Rick, I'm sure you did, a lot of comments on the Titleist reviews on both Facebook and on YouTube. Obviously, many of which were great. Loved the review or liked the look of the product or didn't like the look of the product, whatever. But there was a few where people were almost like questioning your findings versus other reviews they've seen. And that typically tends to be people that are fans of said brand, or they've bought the product and don't like seeing negative reviews. Obviously, no one's bought that product yet because it's not out yet. So then it got me thinking, why don't we have a little discussion and tell listeners exactly how you review clubs and maybe even the journey of this particular one? Because this has been in the back burner for probably 2 months.
Yeah, we obviously the video went out on the 15th of October, and we probably started conversations with Titleist probably August time.
I think it was ages ago.
So typically, if we hear of what tends to happen when a new, let's just talk drivers because it's nice and clean, it's simple. Brands will typically bring out 1 to 2 drivers a year. Titleist no real, they don't come out every year, they come out every 2 years. So they normally come out the same time of year every time as well, so towards the back end of the year. So I kind of fully expected to be getting an email, a phone call from the guys that we deal with at Titleist to say, listen guys, new product's coming on. Mm-hmm. And what happens then, we set up a phone call, and you know, I think Titleist and a lot of brands now understand that the value of being able to, for me to review it, and I don't mean the value as in monetary value, as in the importance of it. So we sat down on a phone call with some of the big wigs from Titleist, and they basically present the product to us, gives us opportunity to ask any questions, to find out everything we need to know.
We go quite hard at them as well, don't we?
Yeah, I think in the past they would have liked dealing with us, but now me and Guy sit on there and we quite like, talking about poker before, we're quite poker faced on it.
Well, we sometimes go good cop, bad cop, don't we?
Yeah, I quite like playing the bad cop, and you come in and play the good cop. For me, because I've seen so many product presentations now, I actually don't like them.
Well, yeah, it's the usual thing. And one of the things I pulled them up on this time was Titleist were showing the numbers of their new driver versus like Sim, Maverick, etc., which obviously is all they can test against because the other brand's new product isn't out yet. But I obviously pulled up on that and said, like, you're claiming your, whatever it was, 0.5 a mile an hour club faster off the face than Sim, but that's their 2020 driver. This is your 2021 driver. So what will it be like against the Sim 2, let's call it? And now obviously they can't test it against that yet, but it's like, don't try and pull the wool over our eyes.
Yeah, I think it's got to a point now where I've seen so many presentations, and Guy has as well, with not only his background in golf, but also working with me for 3 years now. It's like, we've seen so many presentations now. It's like, all right, just tell us what we need to know, and if we've got any questions, we'll come up with questions. But when you're talking to the engineers, the scientists, the marketers, you know, and certainly Americans as well, the Americans are on the phone call and they do really hype it up.
Yeah,
like, and we kind of just sit there and you know, take it in, but take it with a pinch of salt. We do not get sucked into the marketing. It would be easy for, I don't have, you know, it, I could see how it would be easy for others to maybe get sucked into that kind of hype. You get felt very important, they're massaging your ego, they're telling you, you know, oh Rick, you're gonna love this driver, man, you're gonna hit this so far, and you think, I've heard this every single time.
If it was your first one, you would, like, say if we brought a random, not we would do this, but if we brought a random follower, listener, viewer onto that Zoom call with us and said, just listen, just watch this, they would come off it, I reckon, going, I want everything Titleist,
and they'll send you, and they'll show you like a fancy video clip that's been edited, yeah, that looks sick, don't get, like, it's amazing, like the work that they do is amazing. But again, when you've seen it so often, it's like, okay. And I still get unbelievably excited about new products, unbelievably excited, but I get more excited when I get the products in my hands, I can see it, I can feel it, I can hit it, I can see the ball fly, I can see the numbers. That's when I get excited now, the hard evidence, as opposed to all the fluffy stuff you get beforehand. And that happens with every single brand.
I still like some fluff, I'll be honest.
All the brands do that. They fluff it all up beforehand, tell you how it's the best thing since sliced bread, how you're going to hit it longer, faster, and all this jargon. And now, because again, we're a bit more switched on, we asked relevant questions about how. Like, how is this going to go faster? How is this going to go further? How is this going to do that?
What they typically do then at this point, though, is, and again, we don't get fooled, is they have some engineer on who's like a Harvard graduate who uses a load of words that we don't understand.
Who doesn't speak English, basically.
Yeah, who says, like, well, what we've done is we've changed the modal frequency by 0.5 degrees, whatever that even is. And then you're like, okay.
Torch jargon.
Yeah. But then the next step was you got fitted for it.
Yeah, so we fast forward maybe 2 weeks now. Titleist are very keen, as most brands are, and you know, every now and again I will, you know, make sure that they've got my specs correctly. I always try and make sure brands have my specs. I hit on GC Quad all the time. Guy used to be a fitter. We know what we're doing. Like, we know what specs we want to see from a driver. We know what shafts, what lofts, etc. So Titleist did come down and fit me. Went to Marriott Worsley Park. We didn't film any of it because, again, it's not really for the review purpose. They just wanted to hit me with the products. And again, I've been so many in those situations. I didn't take my own driver because, again, in situations like that, I've had it with TaylorMade, Cobra, whoever,
Titleist before,
where they just, all they want to do is beat my current driver I have in my bag. But that's not the game. That's not what we're playing, because you can spec me up to probably beat the driver I've got in the bag. Driver I've got in the bag at the moment is not the longest driver I've ever hit.
But also, what's very, very easy to do as a fitter, and I used to do this to some degree, I'll hold my hands up, is you have a consumer, or in your case, an influencer, for want of a better word. You could hit your own Cobra, let's say 10 shots. They could then fit you into a super low spinning Titleist where you might hit three that would be lost ball. But because it's a fitting session, you forget those instantly, they're gone, forget it. Then you hit one that's 5 yards longer. That's the one they remember and that they want you to remember. But in real life, you've had three out of bounds.
The delete button.
Yeah, it's a good button,
isn't it? It's a fitter's dream button. And, you know, and you've got to be on your guard with these guys. And again, it's the marketing guy, it's their expert fitter, to be honest, who's really good. Their fitter is unbelievable.
Is it Liam from the Tour Truck?
He is
really good.
Possibly the best fitter I've ever had. He's really intelligent. He just gets through it. He works with tour players. He works with Ian Poulter, Justin Thomas, all the main guys. He works with them around the world. He's their global Titleist fitter.
He's very down to earth as well, isn't he?
Lovely. And he used to work for TaylorMade, so I've known him for many, many years going back. And he doesn't kind of fluff it up. He just gives you the data and the stats. He knows what he wants to see and what he doesn't want to see. And then you've got the marketing guy, who, again, I've dealt with for many years. He's the kind of hype guy who tries to hype a good shot up. And again, I've been there, done that, seen the t-shirt. I don't want somebody in the background when I've hit a good drive going, oh my God, that's the best drive I've ever seen hit. I'm like, it's not.
That's what I used to be, the hype guy.
I just can't.
I was a good hype guy.
I would be unbelievable at fitting. If I was to fit and sell.
The hyping.
Oh my God, I'd be the best. I would. I'd be the best. I used to do it.
Right, then fit me now. So I've just hit. You've specced me up with a driver, right? Ready?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Was that a good one?
Was that a good one? Are you joking? That was unbelievable. Honestly, guy, come and have a look at this. Look at this data. Just ignore all those top nine ones that you've just topped,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to check out this one. Action replay of this. Look at that ball flight. Look at the way it's trajectory, the way it's spun, the draw. And you know what? Once that ball lands on the fairway with draw spin, I went a bit loud there, that's got pure top spin. Mate, you are going to be hitting that 350 yards every single time. Who's the normal guys you play with?
This guy called Rick.
Oh, Rick is going to be in trouble, because you are going to knock it not just 12 yards past him anymore, but 24 yards past him. He is going to see red when you buy this driver. Guy, this is the driver
for you. Can I part-text this one in?
No. You can do whatever you want. If you want to part-text it in, you can do whatever you want. But today you are leaving with this brand new all-singing, all-dancing driver where you're going to hit it further than you've ever hit it before. Your love life is going to improve. You're going to make more money. You're going to look better. You're going to lose weight. All of your dreams are going to come true once you put this driver in the bag.
I'll take two.
Yeah, good. Well done.
Thanks. So when you've got someone like that in the background, and again, I've seen it. I'm like, you know, just leave it. I know what a good shot looks like. I don't need somebody to, you know, tell me it's a good shot. Anyway, we got fitted and they spec'd me up with the product. I didn't get the product there and then.
It was about another week or so, two weeks even?
Yeah, 2 weeks after. So we're middle of September now. Well, this is quite a long story, isn't it? Middle of September, we've got a month out or 3 weeks before the actual embargo lifts, which if you're in the kind of YouTube or media world, you would see at a certain time on a certain date, that's when the floodgates open and you'll see a million different Titleist articles and everything else, because that's when legally all the people in the media are allowed to talk about the product. So we had time to really test it, and we wanted to put the most thorough, in-depth review together of that driver's.
You hit
drivers.
A lot of balls.
More than I think I've ever hit in many reviews.
We went to
if
different view, didn't we? We went to the driving range first. A lot of this, obviously, what you see on camera is clearly what we've done, but also we do a lot off camera as well. So you might see a video where Rick hits, let's just say, 10 balls at the driving range, but in reality, I've hit 50, 60, 70. So first step, we went to Trafford Golf Centre. But in fact, we've missed a step out. One of the biggest steps we do is we actually put the clubs down and just chat about them, don't we? That reminds me of this driver, that reminds me of that driver, or that weight there reminds me of this, so it feels like this, etc.
Yeah, we chat about the technology, what does the face do, what does it look like? You know, when I hit it, even Guy hits it off camera and goes, how's it feel? What's the ball flight like? That one sounds different to that driver.
So important, all that.
You know, so we're starting to establish, and it's very important. You know, obviously I'm reviewing the products, but it's nice to get insight. Guy's obviously an expert in this field as well. It's nice to get his take on it. Even Harry, our cameraman who came with us for the title shoot, he's going, oh, I can hit that. Does sound different, actually. Yeah. And when I stand over here, I can tell that that's the TSI-2, and I can tell that's the TSI-3. Oh, look at the ball flight. So we're really getting an understanding of the product. So we did that. Then we went out on the golf course and did something similar where it was a super quiet day, beautiful morning. We just teed up on the 12th hole at Marriott Worsley Park and just smashed Pro V1s. No data. Again, just getting an understanding. Does it sound different when we're out in the open? Does it sound different? You know, what's the ball flight like if there's trouble left? Can I hit it high? Can I hit it low? What happens if I just catch it high off the toe? What happens if I catch it low on the face? What happens if I change the weight system around? Like, all of these things we're kind of figuring out. And if we filmed it from start to finish, it'd be the most boring 7-hour video you've ever seen in your life. But these are all the things that go in behind the scenes. We then pitched up another day and we've got the data. And the data that I presented on the video were averages of all the clubs shots I hit that day. Some I smoked, some I got over 280 yards, some dropped into 260 yards. So 277, I think, for the TSI-3 was the average of that day when I was testing it every single shot. We don't have a delete button when we're doing the testing. And then also with the TSI-2, that was down at 270. Again, there was big ones in there. And if we just showed the big ones, it'd be the best driver ever in the 100%. World.
But then also, you called out the fact that the TSI-2 did feel like a very straight-hitting driver as well. Because it sounds obvious, it's not all about distance for everybody.
Yeah.
But one thing that really annoyed me, I don't know if you noticed this, was a few comments from people kind of defending the TSI-2, saying, oh, well, I'd happily lose 10 yards to hit more fairways and all this kind of stuff, which isn't quite what we said. But if these guys all think that, why don't they all are they all using square drivers then? You know, they were really straight, didn't go very far. Distance is important, especially when the story from the brand is distance.
Yeah.
If a brand came out and said, let's just say, it wouldn't happen, but let's just say TaylorMade next year bring out a driver and say, this driver isn't as long as our competitors, but we can guarantee it'll go straighter. If you then reviewed it and called it out for not being long, that'd be ludicrous, because that their claim is accuracy. But with these drivers, the big story is the ball speed and the clubhead speed.
It could be called the SIF. Next year.
The SIF.
Straight in fairway.
Nice. But that's the thing. So what we also have to do, and again, Rick has to do, is to make sure that what we're reviewing is the golf club as a whole, but also leaning towards the main claim and testing that, which for this driver, as most drivers are, is ball speed and distance.
Yeah, clubhead speed, ball speed, distance. And unfortunately, we just didn't see it. It didn't pop. And there are long ones in there, definitely. But on average, it just was not firing off the face. Like, sometimes you'd hit one and go, that looks like it should be good. Like, the ball flight looks there. Where's the ball speed? Where's that 161 miles per hour ball speed? Where's that lower spin? Where's that flight? And don't forget, and again, I saw somebody on Instagram having a bit of pop of me there. Oh, you didn't get professionally fitted. I did.
You did, you'll put it in the video. The other thing, and I'm not going to name names, I sometimes feel a little bit, when I see reviews from, you know, there's a lot of good reviewers out there. There's lots that I watch as well, golf reviewers. But when it is a reviewer that is at a store that sells the product, I often do wonder, would they ever give it a negative review, really? Let's be honest.
I think anybody that works
to sell,
you know, in a retail environment and you're reviewing a product, I think there's a couple of review, what's the right word? Almost, you know, if you're a reviewer and you fit into one of two things, one, you're at a retail environment, because again, like Guy mentioned, that's very hard. If you've got a load of tightless stock coming in, you're kind of going to want the driver to perform well. Now, whether that judges your review, I don't know, and I'll let you be the judge of that. And I think also, honestly, genuinely again, if you work for the media, and what I mean by that, magazines, you know, an actual business.
I'm going to say it now. I'm not going to name it. There was one from a golf magazine. I can say it. You might not want to say it. It was embarrassing. I felt embarrassed by it. It was that ridiculous.
I think because, again, you've got to understand, let's say Titleist spend a lot of money in these magazines to put adverts on. Like, they spend lots of money. So is that review going to be skewed? Ah, I'd find it hard to think not. It would not be skewed. For us, we don't have any responsibilities. No. Like, literally, the only deal that we have is they give me the product, give me the information. That is it.
Well, you know what was funny, actually? My brother, the other day, I was sat and chatting to him about the video, because he was really looking forward to watching it, and we went to the golf shop on Saturday for a mooch, and I said, oh, did you watch the video? So, oh, yeah, I did, actually. So what do you think of the review? Because I wanted to know what he thinks of the review, as opposed to what he thinks of the club first. He said, oh, yeah, it was a good video. And then I said, what do you think of the club? He said, oh, yeah, it was all right, whatever, yeah. And he said, what happens if you give them a bad review? You know, the brands ever kick off, or what happens?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then I said, well, actually, we're at the point now, or Rick's at the point now, where it's a win-win, because if a brand turned around and said, you know what, Rick, that was a negative review, we're not going to send you any more clubs, if anything, that makes it even better for us, because then, sounds ridiculous, not better, but it puts us in a strong position, because then, next time there's a new driver out, we have to wait maybe a month after the embargo, so that's a bit of a lose. But then we buy one, and you say, look, this driver, I've had to go out and buy it because last year, X brand weren't happy with how negative my review was, so I've gone out and bought one, and this is my full review. It doesn't really make any difference.
And I would twist the word negative to honest.
Oh, yeah, well, exactly.
Like, yeah. They didn't like it because how honest my review was. And it's weird, sometimes I'll get branded, oh, you just love every golf club. I don't. As many times I've said I don't like certain golf clubs. The only thing I've possibly never, ever said, certainly with new products, I've never said, I hate this golf club. This golf club is the worst golf club I've ever seen. Mm. I don't say that because typically they're not that kind of far off. But either way, it was a really good review. I'm looking forward to new drivers coming out back end of the year. We said earlier on in the year, after all the pandemic and everything, would there be new driver releases? Oh, yes. There are new driver releases coming thick and fast.
There's new driver releases and there's new podcast sponsors, Rick.
I'm excited about this, honestly. Today felt like a different day.
You were nervous pre-recorded, although I must admit, you look cool today. You've got on, right? So around that time I gave you a bit of stick what you were in, when you were sat in the same position in Rick's garage. Today, he looks like one cool guy. He's got on Nike React running shoes, same as me, in a different colour, really comfortable. He's got trainer socks with his ankles showing. He's got joggers that look really nicely fitted around the ankle.
Told you about the joggers.
Yeah, they look good.
These have changed my life, guy.
You look like a different man. He's then got like
a golf... My
wife
finds me much better looking.
I'm not surprised. He's then got a golf cover up on that doesn't look like a golf top. You wouldn't know it was a golf top unless you know golf. He's then got like a beanie kind of style hat on, three quarters of the way up his head. He's lost a bit of timber around his waist.
Stop.
He's
You're looking making fresh. Me blush. You're making me
anyway,
blush.
Anyway, back to our sponsor, the Open Podcast.
Yeah, this podcast is so good. Guys, it's a 10-week mini documentaries, and it's following the stories and lives of Open Championships in the past. Get this. It's got such famous names as Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Lee Trevino, Lee Westwood, Padraig Harrington, Sergio Garcia, Michael Campbell, Paul Laurie and Chris Wood, to name a few.
Well, the first episode, so it basically comes out every Tuesday, coincidentally, seeing as our podcast. So make sure you listen to ours first, then as soon as I was finished, listen to the Open podcast.
And it is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and theopen.com. Also available on Stitcher, Overcast, and TuneIn.
But the first episode was all about Stuart Sink's win at the 2009 Open, right? Where he famously beat Tom Watson. There's some things listening to this, though, which I'd either kind of forgotten in 11 years, I'll be honest, or didn't even know. But one of them, I don't know how I feel about this, he was 59, Tom Watson, right?
Unbelievable.
I've listened to the podcast episode. I've since been looking at clips on YouTube. There is also a six-hour video on the Open's YouTube channel of that final round. I want to hear your thoughts on this in a minute, Rick. At the time, and still now, I feel horrible saying this, I'm glad Tom Watson didn't win. The only reason is because, as much as I like Tom Watson, he's a legend of the game, I always felt at the time, and even now, if he had won our biggest golf event at the age of 59, how do I then tell my friends that golf is cool and golf's a sport when someone of that age can win the biggest event in the world? However, it does prove that golf can be played at any age and to a great standard.
I absolutely wanted him to win it.
Did you?
I was mortified when it slipped away from him. He was leading, he was one ahead, coming down the 18th hole, and this gets told by Tom Watson in the podcast, and you hear from Stuart Sink, and
Jack Nicklaus is on it.
Jack Nicklaus and Lee Westwood. It's honestly, I loved it. It's about 50 minutes long, and like I say, there's a new episode every single week, but listen to this new one that's out right now. It was just so good, and he had a shot lead coming down the last. He slightly overhit it on the 18th hole. He didn't get up and down from the back of the green. It went to a playoff. The story and how Stuart Sink actually dealt with the playoff is amazing as well. Yeah. Guys, I don't want to give too much away. I'll tell you what, listen to this clip as a little teaser into the Open podcast.
You know, the first day here, let the old geezer have his day in the sun, you know, 65. The second day, said, well, yeah, that's okay. Now today, you kind of perk up ears and say, hey, this old geezer might have a chance to win the tournament. I feel good about my game plan, and who knows, it might happen.
I feel like I'm in a time warp.
Well, listen, wake up and smell the coffee, because he's leading this Open Championship, and he's got a big shout tomorrow.
Hopefully that got your mouth watering. So this can will allow people, Lenrick, to have this as their second favourite golf podcast, okay? That's all. Ours has to be first. But do us a favour. Go over there. Subscribe to the Open podcast if you're on Apple or Spotify or Google or Amazon, all those good places. Leave a review if you want. And if you want to leave a review and say, Rick and Guy sent me or Rick Shields sent me or something, do it. Why not? But make sure every Tuesday tune into our podcast first, clearly, and then the Open podcast.
I tell you what, do go and leave a review and do say Rick sent me or, you know, Rick Shields podcast sent me, whatever it may be. And maybe we'll pick a listener of the week one of the reviews.
People leave a review on theirs saying they've come from our show.
Correct.
And then we'll pick everyone.
So I don't think they've got many reviews at the moment. And that's a shame because it is such a good podcast. I think for a week, here's your challenge. Everybody listening, because again, it's great to have a partner. The Open podcast, the fact that we've managed to get a sponsor from the Open podcast. I mean, that is just phenomenal. It's mind-blowing. It's now your turn to make sure this continues. So do us a big favor. Go and listen to it. Subscribe to their podcast on your favorite platform, leave a review, and we will pick a listener of the week from one of the reviews next week. And if you can, this is a bold shout.
Go on.
See if you can get the Open podcast to number one on the golf charts for 1 week only.
One week only.
They can have it for 1 week.
You know one thing though, I'll be honest now, and you know exactly what I'm going to say. Well, you'll agree. I listen to that, and it's a proper original documentary in your ears rather than visual. It made me think they put so much work into that and so good. And we come into your garage and just chat rubbish for like an hour. And it's quite different, innit? But it's different strokes, different folks. You can have different vibes. Just because the golf podcast doesn't mean they have to be similar.
But anyway, you'll enjoy it.
We've got big news.
Go for it.
The small little team at Rick Shields Media is expanding. And hopefully that expansion should improve the podcast output. Correct. To me.
So currently at Rick Shields Media, there are four members of staff. Myself, I don't really know what my role is.
head honcho, the boss man.
Then there's Guy, who's, what's your new role? Senior brand manager.
Senior brand manager.
Big time now. And podcast producer. Then we've got Tim, who's senior videographer and editor. Then we've got Harry, who's videographer and editor. And now we are currently recruiting, and you might have seen it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We are now currently recruiting for a digital media assistant. So far, we've had 350 applicants.
Wow. Well, we're telling the listeners as like our friends, because remember, you said everyone listens as your friend. But also, if you do think you've got the credentials to enter, to apply for this, send an email to careers@rickshields.com, because we're still open to seeing more great applicants. This role is going to be somebody that's going to focus very much on the output across social media, isn't it? But not so much like, obviously, because Rick's very heavy on his own social media, but more helping us to create video content. And also, hopefully, the real reason we're telling the podcast listeners is because we want this person to help film the podcast, also kind of co-produce the podcast and make it even better and get more stuff out there on a more regular basis.
Correct. So, yeah, in their job description will be, you know, actual podcast producer. Might have to change your role. yeah, but obviously we set up a few months ago the Rick Shields Golf Show, or is that what it's called? The Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. The Rick Shields Golf Show YouTube channel.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
The second channel. And we started to release clips on there. I just don't feel like we're doing enough. We need to start releasing more on there. And we can do. Like, there's so many great little, you know, clips that we can get from the actual podcast on a weekly basis. But until we've got a proper, you know, another editor, because Tim and Harry are constantly editing YouTube and Facebook videos, we just don't quite get the time to edit the podcast clips as well. So new digital media assistant will be able to do podcasts, be able to do more clips for Facebook, TikTok, Instagram Reels, be able to do little teasers for YouTube. But yeah, it's a class role. If somebody is interested, you know, email careers@rickshields.com and I can send out a full job spec, and closing date is 30th of October 2020.
You know what's weird? The person that's going to be doing this job might be listening right now. And they might say to us in like a month's time or whatever, and they start, oh, yeah, this episode.
And that's how you got a job.
Yeah. Or they might have already applied and listening now, or listen to this and go, you know what, I'm going to apply for that.
We've had some unbelievable applicants so far. I think it's going to be a really, really competitive role. I'm extended to extend the team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to reading out this week's Listener of the Week, because we've already said that next week's Listener of the Week is going to be from the open podcast comment section on Apple or whatever. Also, actually, let's extend that one little bit further, because some people don't use Apple. If you don't use Apple Podcasts but you still want to be a Listener of the Week potential, maybe do like a screenshot on your Instagram stories of the podcast, the open podcast, and say like @RickShields sent me here or something, just so we'll see it.
Yeah,
we'll extend that to people that aren't only Apple. But this week's Listener of the Week is a good old fashioned standard Listener of the Week theme tune, please. Yeah, that's another thing I was thinking this new person might do, actually be able to put real jingles into this.
What's wrong with mine? You don't like them?
I don't mind it, but it's not the best. But this is a good old-fashioned Listener
of the
Week.
Do you mean the podcast will get edited?
Well, it does now every week, because we start off and Rick takes three or four goes to go, welcome to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
To remember my name.
Every week he goes, well, blah, blah, blah. We get there in the end. But this one, so Listener of the Week, you know by now the rules. It does change week to week, that you've got to be on the ball, you've got to be on your toes if you want to be listening to the week. You can't just do the old standards thing. One week could be this, one week could be that. Who knows? This week's is James Rideout.
Okay.
Standard email with the caption of Listener of the Week. That's always good when I'm scrudging around last minute trying to find stuff for the show. So sometimes I think, right, I need a Listener of the Week. If there's one that's titled Listener of the Week and I find it in my inbox quickly, you're probably going to get it. So that's partly why
it's all about timing.
Timing, but also...
So email on a Monday?
Yeah, good. Or Sunday evening is actually a really good time to do it. He also started off with Morning Guy, and then he's put like quotation marks, the driver bomber, Charnock, and Rick Layup Shields.
Oh, wow.
he's then put, this is my reason of why I should be Listener of the Week. So essentially, he's gone for your standard screenshots. And also, what I liked as well is when he signed off his email, he put, you know, it makes sense, James Rideout, Rick Shields Podcast Listener of the Week, episode 44. So he was, had an ambition, a slight cockiness.
Thing is though, he called you out before.
Well, exactly, he did actually, so I'm going to come on to that in a minute. But basically, I knew the name already, because he's very active in the podcast group on Facebook, and he actually has a little logo next to it, which is Conversation Starter. But in his screenshot, he's put, he obviously follows Rick on Instagram. He follows the Rick Shields Golf Show on Instagram. He even followed me, which is nice. He's a Rick Shields Golf Show podcast member of the group. He follows and subscribes to all YouTube channels, etc. But he actually, so he's got good things and bad things going for him. The other week, somebody was laughing at my voice on the podcast group for whatever reason. And he stuck up for me, James, which was nice. That's how I knew his name as well, so I liked James. But then today, I put in the group that today's episode was going to be a really good one. And what was it that he said? Is this clickbait?
Yeah.
Tried to call me out a little bit. So then I said, well, actually, you're going to be listener of the week.
I like how he said you were going to be listener of the week.
Yeah, I wanted to really worry him. I felt like that might have knocked him a little bit, knocked his confidence. It was like, don't, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's all I'm going to say about this, James, you know. So that's it. That's
okay.
Listener of the week
nice,
this week.
Nice.
I'm not sure how long we keep doing listener of the week for. Let's do next week's for definite.
I like listener of the week.
Do you?
Yeah.
What I about do. If we had a listener of the month, but they get more like?
I still think the fact that it's like random.
Yeah, I do like that.
I think it just needs to be random. I think the old email now and screenshots, as much as you should still carry on doing that.
I've got the best one ever.
Go for it.
Right. Next week is the Open, right? Whoever does that thing on the Open. The week after that, which we'll remind people of, what I want them to do is get a golf ball. It can be an old golf ball, a new golf ball, whatever. Ideally, you want, they don't mind losing. With Sharpie, you've got to write on it, at the Rick Shields Golf Show, best podcast ever, right? Leave it in the cup on the 18th hole, film yourself doing that and just walk off. So the next person that comes to the 18th green is going to find a golf ball in the hole with at the Rick Shields Golf Show, is the best podcast ever. And then we're going to pick someone that does that. I don't know why. Just like promotion, isn't it? It's like putting up posters, but golf balls. Because that, think of the story when you go in the clubhouse and someone goes, hey, John, I found a golf ball in the hole the 18th. And it had this on it. Next thing, that goes viral. Who knows? Next, we've got more sponsors knocking at the door. No, Rick's not looking impressed with this idea.
I am. I like that idea. My only thing, and it sounds really sad, isn't there a penalty if you hit the ball in the hole when there's another hole in the ball? What?
No.
There's a penalty if your ball goes in the hole when there's already a ball in the hole.
That's not true, because what happens if you had a hole in one and I followed it in?
You get disqualified.
No way, Jose. Or you hole out a...
It might just be on the putting green.
I don't think that's a rule.
I'm sure it is. We'll have a look into that. Stay tuned for next week's episode when we'll have an answer to that. Look at that, we get one sponsor. We're suddenly employing staff. We're suddenly vandalising golf courses around the world.
Right, do you want to hear Dear Rick for this week?
Go for it.
So recently, they have been quite good. This isn't actually the best, but again, I was clutching at straws, and this one had the title of Dear Rick, hashtag help. So I also don't think this one needs to be anonymous. So I'm going to say his name and risk it because it doesn't need to be. He's from Zachary Waller.
Okay, Zachary.
I think he's from Australia. Oh, yeah. So he said, I'm a big fan. He's put Dear Rick, so straight away. You're ticking Rick's box. We do like box tickers here at the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and my favourite time of the week is listening to the new podcast every Tuesday night. I live in Brisbane, Australia. It's weird, that, isn't it? There's people in Australia listening to this.
It's so weird. I've been to Brisbane.
I just pause every as long as possible to make that seem irrelevant. Great. I went to Sainsbury's before I came to your house. Do I get a medal?
So it differs in Brisbane. Go on, Zachary from Brisbane.
Do you know him, Rick? Have you met him when you're over there?
There's not many
people. In fact,
people.
Actually, there is a good story. But the range I go to is the range Rick posted a video at when he
there
was in Brisbane
go.
A few years
Told
ago.
You.
I know. My dear Rick this week is that I'm struggling with my swing. I come from, and this is something that I think you know a lot about, Rick, I come from a cricket background and absolutely love my golf. I played when I was younger, but I've really got back into golf since watching Rick's videos and since the podcast. Sorry, I feel like I read these too quick sometimes. I'm excited.
I hope you're not going to say, I know about cricket.
No. I think you've had lessons before where people have had cricket swings.
Yeah, definitely.
He basically says, I've had a few lessons and it's been quite hard to change my problems because I've also got a few back issues. But please help me because I want to hit it better and I've got what's called a cricketer swing and a big massive slice. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, he used to play cricket. He's got tennis in his swing. Go.
Cricket in his swing.
He's got like a cricket swing, which we've seen before. Was it... Possibly the guy that did the video with us for the Cobra, the Callaway Big Bertha 21 driver.
Oh, Jason.
Did he have a cricket?
Yeah, he did.
Cricket?
What is a mad story, actually, not to promote another podcast, but I listened to a podcast with Matt Wallace on the other day, with the Cameron McCormick one, and he actually was almost a semi-professional cricketer.
Was he?
And then he got into golf really late. But anyway, yeah, I
have. Don't listen to that podcast, I got paid.
Open Podcast is the one you need to listen to after hours. That sounded like after hours then, like as if it was
a really rude open podcast. It's like Jack Nicklaus at 12:30 with a little whiskey. This is the after hours.
Imagine
podcast.
The stories. Oh,
that'd
wow.
be outrageous.
Anyway, he, cricket background. For me, yeah, I used to teach loads of cricketers back in the day when I was at Trafford. I don't know why. I suppose Trafford's quite a Old Trafford cricket ground and everything else. There seems to be quite a lot of cricketers around there. And cricketers do often slice the golf ball because they're always trying to hit the ball downwards and kind of away from the bodies. And that kind of often leads to this kind of very outswing path or very open face. For me, I used to do this thing with cricketers. Feel like you're always trying to hit the ball. If you were a cricketer on the cricket on the wicket now, is that onside?
Oh, yeah. No idea.
I think onside is out in front of you and offside is behind you.
So that would make sense, but I don't know.
And I used to say to the cricket guys, feel like you're trying to hit one really high and trying to hook one into offside. Offside? I feel like that's...
Well, to your left is right-handed player.
Yeah, so feel like you're trying to hit it, hook it over the bowler's left-hand side. Trying to hit it left.
Yeah.
It's easy when you've got visuals. But yeah, that was the feeling because that way the cricket guy would understand they'd have to rotate the bat. They'd understand they'd still have to manipulate the loft. They'd understand the path would have to go further to the right. It fixed so many cricket guys super quickly.
Good answer.
Thanks.
So I've got a couple of Facebook questions, and I always like these because this gives us potential clickbait for the title if we need it. So you'll know listening if we've used these or not.
I think we've got a title already.
Right, okay. Well, this one that I was going to use anyway, something along the lines of, have you felt with Peter Finch? We've had this asked this question loads, but basically Robert's asked, why has written on any videos with Pete for a while? Seems that they have become distant. I miss the challenges they had.
Who?
Robert has asked on...
Asked about who?
Peter Finch.
Peter Finch.
Is that guy that you used to play, the one that always beats you when you play him, that guy.
There's plenty of them guy. Peter Finch, we've not fallen out. There's been you might have seen an announcement out. We talked about it obviously in last week's podcast. It probably prompted Pete to put it on his Instagram. We have left Prairie. It's official now, or end of this month anyway. We're not coaching at Prairie anymore. We did have that facility together, so to speak, even though we were never actually there together because we used to have the facility on separate days to each other. Because there was only obviously one bay there. Pete's getting busy. I'm getting busy. We're not coaching as much anymore. So yeah, we've handed the keys back there. Pete is obviously making his own content. We actually were together. Was it last Tuesday or the Tuesday before?
The Tuesday before.
2 weeks ago, filming a really cool little kind of advert for Golf Clash, which is the mobile video game, which you might start seeing popping up here, there, and everywhere soon. We actually tried to arrange a match last week, but got called off for bad weather. Long story short, we've not fallen out. I like making videos with Pete. I think he's really good on camera. We have a good chemistry together. Like Guy says, he probably does beat me more now because he plays a lot
full-time
more.
Player.
He's a full-time player, basically, let's be honest. I still relish in that time when I beat him at the Secondhand Club Challenge 2019 when I hit that amazing lob shot over the 18th hole over the trees at Woburn. That's probably my highlight of my life. But bar that, we will be making videos again together. Not sure when, not sure how. But yeah, we've not fallen out.
What we might do is clip that little clip up as a little Twitter clip.
Oh, don't tag him in it, though. Don't give Pete any, like, new followers.
Yeah, I don't like him, do we? James Hand, again, this is all on Facebook. So if you're not a member of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group on Facebook, join or equally follow at the Rick Shields Golf Show on Instagram, where we also ask for questions. But James Hand has asked on Facebook... This is a really good question, actually. How much of an improvement should, and that's the really big word for me, should you expect to see when you get a full bag fitting? I'm currently playing off an 18 handicap.
Are you expecting to see
exactly.
an improvement?
You might not see any.
And I don't like saying this. I really don't. I have seen times where golfers will go backwards after a full bag fitting. I feel like sometimes golfers' expectation levels increase too high and they don't manage it as well. And suddenly they're going out thinking that the best thing since sliced bread and actually playing differently how they normally play and end up shooting a terrible round of golf.
I don't think you can answer that question, can you? It's such a... There's so many factors because let's just say, for example, you're off 18 and you've been playing with clubs, let's just be silly, that are 4 degrees upright and you need standard, right?
And you've only been playing with like 5 golf clubs.
Yeah. But even, well, what I was going to say was, on theory, if I said a guy off 18 was using irons that are 4 degrees upright, he's now been fitted, he's got all standard lie irons, he's going to want to play better. In the end, he will, I'd imagine. But actually, he might play worse to start with, it's so unusual.
His swing would his swing would, what you always want to do is you want to adapt the clubs to your swing, but there's often times where you'll be using clubs that you have to adapt to. Yeah. And that can really alter your golf swing to a certain, certain way.
And also, without trying to be picky, it's like, how much improvement should you see? Well, and how long? Like, in one round, you might see none. You might see loads. Over a season, you might see a massive improvement. Again, you might see none. You might end up playing more because you've got new clubs that you love. So then you might actually get better because of that. But it's actually because of the clubs. Like, it's a really hard question to ask. I think if you're going for that mindset of, I want new clubs that are fitted and I'm going to play better, you might be disappointed. You might not be, but you might be.
You're normally really good at analogies. How could you like, compare this to anything else?
Simple. Well, the easiest way would be you go for get some new running shoes and get your gait analysis and you get some shoes that are designed to, you know, work better with how you run. You may go out and see that you get less injuries, but equally you might end up going out running more and getting more injuries because you feel better on your feet. You might not get any faster, or you might want to get faster. I don't know if that was the best analogy.
Or if you got fitted for a set of darts,
which we did.
And I still preferred the cheap, nasty ones.
There's
that
been a
came
few people asking about darts recently, actually.
And it's such a shame because we've got a dartboard here.
Yeah, we just lost. I think Christmas time, as long as the PDC, whatever it's on, is on, I might get back into it. You might get back into it. We've both got dartboards at home. We can both practice. Maybe we can have a little dart special for 5 minutes at the end of a podcast.
I like it.
So people that don't like it can turn off. If you do want to listen to the, let us know if we should do that somewhere. Because I think we will do it anyway.
Send us a pigeon mail.
This is the part, again, I always get to where I feel like I should have actually done a bit more research into questions, but we'll scroll.
Where is this on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn?
Instagram.
It's on LinkedIn, yeah. Follow Rick on LinkedIn.
I was on LinkedIn.
Well, this is a question that is a weird one, but it's not a weird one. Somebody's put best waterproofs for golf at different price points. Now, I know it's not the most exciting question, but I'm going to answer this because, again, from my time at golf retail, waterproofs are only worth paying depending on how much you play in the rain. Now, that sounds obvious, but let's just say you literally are a fair weather golfer and you don't play any comps and you're willing to come off the golf course once it starts raining or whatever, you're not that fussed. There's no point buying a full Gavin Green suit for £500-600, whatever they are now. Equally, if you really are into your golf and you play all winter and you will play in comps even when it's absolutely throwing it down, you want to spend as much as you can afford, really, because the more you spend, the more difference you make. Not only in how waterproof they are, how breathable they are, how comfortable they are, and how easy they are to swing in as well. So, in answer to your question, work at how much you want to spend and just spend that much, basically. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. It is. You know, waterproofs are super expensive sometimes, aren't they?
Galvin stuff is really expensive.
But I get it, because the technology that goes into it is good.
Yeah.
You know. If you had to pick one variety of curry to best describe yourself, what type of curry would you pick and why? Andy Piff.
What type of curry would it be? something mild, plain and boring. What's that called? What's the most plain curry called?
Korma.
Korma, that'd be me.
I'm probably a little bit spicier. I'd probably go chicken tikka masala. God, there's some random questions. I've just seen one about...
Oh, I just went to up to you. I saw something sick this morning. I was on the World Golf Rankings, right? And I'm going to try and find it now. I'll tell you, you just get that up and I'll find this.
The question I've just read, I can't even read out on this podcast. Match between Guy and Rick in joggers with iron head covers on. best tip to break 100. I would just say, don't compound your errors. So if you go in a bunker, play safe to get out. If you are by the side of the green, don't go lob wedge, go a little chip and bump and run with an 8-iron or putter.
Do you want to hear this now?
Go
this
for
is
it.
Nothing to do with what we normally talk about. I just saw it this morning, weirdly, it proper surprised me. Honest answer straight away, what ranking in the world do you think Jason Day is?
28.
Okay. He's world number 43, which first of all surprised me. The next thing that surprised me, and I just want to make sure I get this right, and I was going to write it down before, but I thought it's not something we normally talk about, but yeah, it is quite a cool little weird fact. So, he was last in the top 10, right? When do you think he was last in the top 10?
2019.
27th of January 2019, he was number 10. And that was only, I think, for a week. And before that, this is what's really threw me. The highest place he was when he was then number 9, so obviously one place better than number 10. Let me just find this. And this is a bit off topic and not really that exciting to everybody, but just proper surprised me. He was number 9. The last time he was number 9, so kind of, I know top 10 is 10, but better than 10, was June 2018. How mad's that? So he was ninth in the world in June 2018, sorry. Then he was number 10 at January 2019, and since then he's not been in the top 10 again.
Well, back in the 16, he was number one.
It's mad, isn't it, how much he's changed?
What, here's one for you that I got a bit of a shock at today. Where's Brooks Koepka in the world ranking?
I've got it open, so I've already seen. But I would, yeah, he's 11. I wouldn't know. I'd have said 3.
How mad is that? How has he gone to 11? It didn't feel that long ago he was number one.
Yeah. I can tell I don't watch much tour golf, but some that have really fluctuated around. It's nice to see Tyrrell so high, number 8 and number 9 now.
I know,
Tyrrell
that's Hatton. Mad that. Yeah, I couldn't believe Brooks Koepka was number 11. I found that fascinating. Anyway,
I thought today was going to be a 10 out of 10, and now I'm not too sure.
It's just ended a little bit
flat, hasn't
it? Yeah.
I don't know. How long are we on?
I don't know if we're even recording. 58 minutes.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. Guys, thanks for listening to the Rich Hills podcast, everybody. Episode number 44, our first sponsored show. And hopefully, as we mentioned, we're not going to sign or get into sponsorship deals for brands that we do not honestly believe in. And I think the Open Podcast is one that we absolutely believe in. Go and check it out. It's definitely a great podcast. Guy, thanks for your time again today.
Quick one, Rick. Why don't we just say, anyone that's listened this far, right, send us...
$10.
No, send us an email. I'll sit through into loads, podcast@richshields.com, and just say I listen to the very end, and we'll pick someone, we'll send them some balls or something, and I'll be in charge of that. Just to prove that you listen to the end. Because I know this might have, just like you said, it softened off a little bit to the end. podcast@richshields.com, title it with pick me, and we'll just pick someone at random and ship you some balls out just to make sure you've listened.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you all soon, and we are out. Going to spend all that sponsorship money.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.